Martin, can you hear me? Are you there?
Things come from the snow. Nazis.
The little Nazi creatures came up from the earth.
When we found you, your right arm was ripped off. We found your arm in the car. The operation was a success.
Zombie squad.
Martin, these are not your textbook zombies.
These are cursed zombies, awakened to complete a task given to them. We will take care of this. We are professionals.
Looks like we're going to Norway. It's time to go hunting.
That was farther than usual.
What do the creatures want?
Revenge.
Here they are. Who will take us?
That can't be good.
Your arm, your power.
This is how we defeat them. Create an army of our own.
Classic Arcade Expo in Louisville this weekend. You guys are going?
No.
Maybe. I don't imagine so.
I'm not. I just had a couple of friends post they were going.
Got that film festival for the developmentally disabled people going on this weekend, and then...
I was going to go Saturday with Faith, because she offered me a free ticket to volunteer with her and stuff before the whole Dennis thing happened.
Oh, right, right.
Because, like, she was posting...
Dennis thing.
Horrible, horrible weekend Burgess for
dude.
Me.
He's all fucked up on Klonopin or something, right?
Root canals or something?
No, I was wrestling with Charlie earlier in the week, and she headbutted me, and it hurt, and like my mouth was bleeding and stuff. Come to find out, she broke a tooth like in half, and it like cut my gum, and it got irritated, and I woke up Saturday morning with my face swelled, my eye almost shut, and so I had to go to like an emergency dentist on Saturday.
I haven't been to the dentist in like 3 years. I'm just really scared to go now.
The worst thing was is I get there and I have pretty decent health insurance and like dental insurance. And they're like, oh, well, our Aetna web portal is down. So you'll have to pay out of pocket and then they'll just reimburse you.
Nice.
And I was like, thanks. And it cost me like $300 out of pocket.
Jesus.
I faxed that to the like that night to the health insurance place. And they emailed me this morning. Only got to wait 4 weeks. Fun stuff.
I haven't been to the dentist in forever.
It was a horrible weekend.
I used to, like, as a kid, I go like twice a year. Like, you know, my mom would always schedule when I had to go. I haven't gone to the dentist since like I got out of college.
Yeah.
Oh. But yeah, she was posting pictures like of Daryl Mitchell and Danny Woodburn and stuff, like actors. And like, I think Marley Matlin was there. I couldn't really tell if it was her or not. I was like, are you seriously hanging out with these people right now? Cause like, they're all hilarious. She's like, yeah. She's like, and then she's like, oh, well, you want to come to the party tomorrow? There's like a dinner or something. She's like, you got to act like you're a volunteer, but you can say hi to all of them. I was like, yes. I was like, at first I was like, what time is it? Cause I got to work. When she said it was late, I was like, yeah, let's do it. And then I woke up and I was like, sorry, I can't do it. Cause I'm at the dentist.
Yeah. I've always, like, I don't know. I don't think I can have any more cavities. I have fillings in all of my teeth already. But I just imagine myself going there. If it's like the same sort of feeling, I'm never going to ask me when was the last time I went to the dentist. And it'd be like being in like a confessional with a priest. Like, hello, Father. This is my first confession in 7 years.
You're like, can we put up the blind partition? I don't want to answer this to your face.
And then I'll go like, well, that's great news. We just took an x-ray. You need like 14 root canals. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that doesn't sound like it's worth it. They're like, well, enjoy having dentures when you're 28 then.
That's what happened last time I went. They were super mad at me because I hadn't been in like 10 years.
Yeah.
This is in like 2004. And yeah, they said I needed to go see the specialist right away. Or like I was going to die or something. I don't know. I couldn't afford it, so I just didn't go.
Oh, the worst part was I had like two appointments to test drive cars on Sunday because I'm in the market to buy a new vehicle. And so I showed up looking half retarded with a big old fluffy face. They must have thought I was crazy.
Yeah.
I have your Metal Gear and your Super Paper Mario at the house. I got to bring it back. I haven't played either one in a long time, and I found them sitting there when I was cleaning the kitchen, and I was like, I better take those back.
Yeah. Metal Gear is really the only one I care about.
Yeah.
Metal Gear Solid. I have the original Metal Gear on NES cartridge.
Those games were so hard when I was younger.
Yeah, I could
Metal never. Gear and Metal Gear 2.
So I was watching, I had to watch a playthrough of Metal Gear because I had never beaten it in my entire life. And I'm like, it's going to take me forever to get the progress I usually got. I always got stuck on this one part. And it was because you had to contact this rebel, and she would give you a rocket launcher, and that's how you killed a tank.
Right.
And I never, every time I called her, she didn't pick up. And I'm like, why on earth is she not picking up? And then I watched the playthrough, and the guy says, okay, so when you save civilians, like, you have this little star thing that levels up. Something I never noticed as, like, a seven-year-old. It was, like, the last thing on my mind is the fact that this little star gauge kept increasing when I, like, now I'm a one-star, now I'm a two-star, now I'm a three-star. So apparently you had to, like, rescue enough citizens to get up to, like, four or five stars or something. And, like, then if you contacted the person, they would actually respond. So I'm like, I was like literally as a kid running around, like looking everywhere. Like, did I miss something? But I mean, I don't know why I just never saved civilians or something, or never saved enough of them. Right? Yeah. You had to basically save every civilian you could to get to like four stars at that point in the game or something like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, why wouldn't you? Like every time you save them, it like raises your health bar.
Yeah.
Like you
didn't, but I mean, like, was I was just not looking for them or something. Okay. Some of them are, like, out of the way.
Yeah.
At least you were a seven-year-old doing this. On that How to Survive game last week, I ran around for 2 hours not being able to find any, like, and that, on my playthrough now, I find flint like there's no tomorrow. Because, like, I've even made, like, a couple helmets and armor with some flint on it. And
I have, like, a stash of 50 flint.
Yeah. I was just like, I'm too old to be running around like this, completely clueless.
Yeah. So you busted up your teeth.
Yeah.
What did you do this week?
Didn't bust up my teeth. Went to dinner. Like, my brother had one of his college friends came into Cincinnati to visit, and I had not seen my brother in like 3 weeks because they had been packing up to move. They lived in this awful little house in Hyde Park because it like sat right on this giant ass hill. So every winter they'd have trouble getting out. And the parking lot was, like, really, really small, and their apartment sucked. Like, their oven didn't work correctly, and they had, like, the worst landlord ever because he never fixed anything. It took him 3 years to move out of this place. It could not – every year I told him, like, Joe, it's almost winter. You should should be looking for another place. But his wife really liked it because she was like, oh, it has such a nice view, and it's right next to Hyde Park. It's so convenient. But they moved out. But they moved out to a house in Westside.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I don't know why. Well, I know why. It's right next to her parents' house.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah, so they got like a Raymond situation going on. But it's closer. It's actually like closer to where my brother works and their old house was. They were only just living there because his wife was so obsessed with the Hyde Park scene, like the bars and like shopping and stuff like that. Apparently she grew out of it enough that she didn't want to deal with where she was living anymore. But they got like a really nice house. So this is the first time I'd seen their new house. They just finished moving into it this weekend, and I had to drive to the West Side so we could go to some bistro on the West Side and eat dinner.
Nice. So what do you think?
Of the bistro?
In their house, yeah.
Oh, the house is fine. I mean, it's like pretty nice for a West Side house. It's like $840 a month is their rent, so it's not bad. I mean, I would wish they could find something like a little closer, but
yeah, and not on the West Side.
Yeah.
I don't know.
My only problem with the West Side is how fucking far away it is. I'm not one of these East Siders like West Side is the most terrible thing ever.
Okay. I think it's way worse than this neighborhood.
The only thing bad about your neighborhood is parking.
Yeah, well,
from what I've seen,
just the college scene.
Yeah, that can be fun sometimes, but it can get old sometimes too.
I'm sure it can get old sometimes. I'm sure it can get really old sometimes.
Yeah, like when they're out fighting in the middle of the street at 3 in the morning when the kids are trying to sleep. So what would you play? Get into that.
I played a couple of different things this week. I played Swapper, which was like a little puzzle game.
Oh, yeah, we played some of that. It was free on PSN.
I finished it. It's only like a two-hour game. The puzzles actually get kind of difficult near the end where I kind of had to sit down and think about them for a little bit before I attempted it. But it was like it was very Braid-ish. Since you make copies of yourself, and the copies move exactly like you do. So you, like, take two steps forward, and all your clones takes two steps forward. And you go, like, God damn it, just stand on the fucking switch and stay there.
Yeah. Yeah, Cordelia was trying to play that, and I told her not to play it anymore. Because she couldn't figure out the puzzles without me.
Oh, they're pretty hard. I can imagine they'd be really hard. So, like, the entire basis of every puzzle was that you have two moves. You can create a clone, and you can swap minds with your clone so that you become, like, the clone that you were controlling beforehand. And then the whole entire premise behind the puzzle is they had, like, switches and stuff, and they introduced three lights. One light doesn't let you create clones inside of it. One light doesn't let you switch clones inside of it. And one light doesn't let you do either one of them. So it's all about using these two moves to get around these fucking light configurations that stop you from using these two moves.
Yeah. I don't know. Was it good?
It was all right. I mean, the story is kind of, it's actually, what I liked is I've played a lot of these like puzzle-ish games before, like The Bridge, Closure, like all these like little free games I got. And they always have nice puzzles or whatever, but there's no freaking plot to the game whatsoever. So I get bored of it and like entirely too quickly. And this one actually had like a storyline, which was nice. And then multiple endings at the end.
Really?
Yeah.
There's a bad ending and a good ending, I'm guessing.
I guess, I don't know. There's a, I guess my opinion would be like the morally correct and morally incorrect ending.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
So the morally correct ending is like sacrificing yourself. So if you want to consider that the bad ending.
Yeah. So what else did you play?
I finished Dragon Age. I thought I was on the last mission. Turns out I was on the second to last mission. I tried doing like all the side quests, but eventually they're all the same, like close portals, like fight monsters, blah blah blah. And I ended up finishing the game with like 56 power to spare or something like that, because the last mission costs zero power freebie.
right.
Yeah,
like you've come this far, just go ahead.
It was interesting. They made near the end, there's some weird little turns they make. I wasn't terribly satisfied with the ending until after the credits roll. They have like another scene, because like at the end of it, there was no cliffhanger or anything like to make me feel excited about it. It's like, oh, that's it. They just won. But at the very end, after the credits, there's like this. I'm like, there's the cliffhanger I was looking for. It's like Shadows on the Rise sort of thing. Like a new challenge is growing. So I'm hoping there's going to be some DLC and stuff.
I think there already is, isn't there?
I don't know.
I'm kind of running out of steam on that game. I'll come back to it later. But
yeah, I wouldn't mind playing through another time, because I played an elf, and in general, the conversation choices, they usually had like three. The top one was like the nice answer. The bottom one was kind of like a mean answer. And the middle one would fluctuate a little bit, but it was mostly kind of a sarcastic answer.
Right.
So I went with like all the nice answers sort of. And I think it'd be interesting to go back and just make a new character. Just you choose all the asshole answers. It's like, I was like always trying to, the thing that drove me crazy about the game is I was always trying to get all my allies to like me as much as possible, but you'd have to make choices and it'd be like, so-and-so approves, so-and-so approves, so-and-so approves. And like all eight other of them like disapprove. And I'm like, oh, God damn it. I like reload and see if there's like a better choice, but there's always someone most of the time that disapproved of whatever you did.
You can't please everyone, Danny.
Yeah. I'm sure James would have like a whole bunch of really cryptic sounding questions for me if I was sitting here. So he's like, so who went to the pool? And I'll be like, you know.
right.
Then we trying to figure out what I did without giving away too many spoilers.
Then we get another email about Dragon Age spoilers.
Right. Tim probably just started listening again.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to spoil anything. The ending was fine. I also played Heroes of the Storm, because I have a bunch of friends who used to play like Dota and League of Legends, but they've all gotten like real lives and stuff like that. But when Heroes of the Storm came out, they're like, it's a MOBA that takes 15 minutes. Let's give it a try. And so they convinced me to start playing it a little bit. It's all right. I mean, it's basically they did the same thing. It's Blizzard. They did the same thing with Hearthstone, is that just like dumbed it down as much as possible for mass appeal, you know? So it's like 15-minute games. Anybody can play it. There's no way to really stand out at all because you level up as a team. So,
right.
I mean, in Dota or League of Legends, if you were like really good at getting kills, you could like get like two or three levels ahead of everyone else all by yourself. But now it just all goes towards the team effort, which I could take or leave, really.
And are the team levels only in that instance, or do they stay? Like, if you go into another match, does your team stay that level, or do you start from
scratch? No, you have to start from scratch each time. Okay. It's just like a basic MOBA besides that.
Yeah.
It feels more like a MOBA minigame than anything else.
How's the jungling?
It's all right. It's very minuscule, but they added this weird feature where when you jungle, after you finish killing the creeps, well, the reward is that they come back to life, join your side, and just walk into a lane and just attack with one of your creep waves.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But there's like a talent tree system sort of thing, because unlike other MOBAs, you don't like choose which power you want to level up. Like, you just start with all three of your powers and then eventually get your ultimate. And then each character has like two ultimates you can choose from.
Okay.
Once you've unlocked them, because like you like level up your character. He starts at a level zero, like out of the game, and so some options for him are blocked. Like, he can't use his second ultimate yet and stuff, but you have to keep playing the hero to unlock that content for him. But so the only customization is this talent tree thing, where it's like every, I don't know, like four or five levels, you get to pick one of four talents, and it'll be something like this ability is better, or this ability is better, or when you kill something, this happens, stuff like that.
Is there any kind of like persistent leveling? Or like,
yeah, it's kind of like it's like StarCraft, where you have like an you have a player level.
You have like a tech tree kind of.
Yeah. No, not necessarily. But you have like a player level, and as you level up, you like gain gold. Because like League of Legends, where they have six free heroes a week, but if you want to play the non-free heroes, you have to buy them with in-game currency.
Ugh.
So like you can get the in-game currency by like playing matches and leveling up your player level, or you can just pay for it.
Okay. And once you buy them with the in-game currency,
then you can use them anytime you want.
Okay. So it's not like you have to buy them every week or
It's like League of Legends has that system where it's like there's some block of free heroes each week and it rotates, and then you can spend money or in-game currency you earn for each match to unlock them permanently.
Wait. That sounds cool. How does it stack up, the League of Legends, do you think?
It's obviously a worse game. I mean, it's just supposed to be a mass appeal, like 50, like if you don't, my friends like it because it's only a 15-minute match instead of a 55-minute match, which is what League of Legends is, like Dota, or they're like longer matches. So you can get it over with really quickly most of the time and then get back to your real life. So they still want to play it, and I'll play it with them, but just because I'd rather play with them than not play at all.
Yeah. That's my problem with Destiny, is like you're committed to like at least 2 hours of your life when you go on like one of the raids.
Nice.
I just can't guarantee that I'm going to have that much free time.
Even a lot of the bounties, there's so much to put into it. Like, it's going to take you a chunk of time to get something completed.
I think that's just about everything I played this week, though.
Cool. I played a bunch more How to Survive. Hit the level cap.
Like, what is it?
15.
15.
Yeah, it seems kind of low.
I'm at like 6.
Yeah. I hit it like halfway through the game. I'm at the very end, and I hit it like halfway through. So it seems like they probably could have raised the level cap some. I think they're trying to like prevent you from getting access to everything in the skill tree.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. They could have done that like a different way, made you only get like a skill point like every two levels or something like that, but still let your like health and damage and stuff like that go up every level.
Yeah, I've been to 3 or 4 islands now, so it's opened up quite a bit for me. Kovac's Island is my favorite, though, just going up there and looking for shit.
Yeah, because he's got that giant junkyard.
Yeah, all the dumpsters and stuff.
Yeah. That island gets really horrible later because these zombie emus, like, they just suck because they'll swarm you and they run super fast until you can build a chainsaw, and then you just like kind of stand there and let them run into the chainsaw.
I got attacked by one of those like giant like tank things from Left 4 Dead.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, it took me forever to kill that thing with my little, like, pop gun. It was so shitty. I was, like, a level 3 or 4, and it comes on, like, that main island. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, later on, those guys start appearing randomly, like,
really?
All over the place. Yeah. Just, God. Like, you just kind of have to fight them to get through. I don't know if it's randomly or if it's, like, whenever you, like, progress the story on a little longer. And eventually, you have to fight, like, 2 at once in this really enclosed space. It's fucked up.
Yeah, it's like, dash, dodge. Yeah. In the ass.
Yeah, so I'm at the very end, kind of losing steam on it. I don't know.
I'll finish it up. You can give me tips and tricks because I know I'll finish it eventually.
Yeah. Oops. Recorder. There we go.
Is that all you've been playing this week?
We played a little bit more Child of Light. Not too much more of that. And we bought Resident Evil Revelations 2, Episode 1.
So did you buy, like, the season pack so you get all the episodes?
Yeah, we bought the season pack.
Isn't Episode 2 coming out pretty soon, or is it already out?
I think it's coming out tomorrow. Yeah.
It's a Tuesday release. I think it's tomorrow.
I think the episodes are kind of short. We made it, like, I think about all the way through the first half of the episode last night in about 2 hours.
Define short. Like, what is it gameplay time-wise?
Like I said, we made it through halfway through the episode in about 2 hours, I think, last night. So
that's not that. As far as like episode content go, that's pretty long. I think like an episode of a Telltale game you can get through in like 45 minutes if you really want to.
It's just,
maybe sucks. an hour and a half.
Yeah, right. My first time through on Telltale games, it's usually like 2 hours just making sure you're reading and looking for everything. But when it came down to it, you could probably get through it pretty damn quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I played through it on casual with Cordelia doing the co-op. And the co-op's pretty cool in this one. Instead of just like having two people with guns, like one person has a gun and the other one who's it's actually Barry's daughter, Mora. She has a flashlight and a crowbar because she's like averse to guns or some shit.
Yeah.
So one person just like kind of like blinds zombies with the flashlight or tries to sneak up behind him and hit him with a crowbar. And Claire has all the guns and shit.
Can Claire, like, distract the zombies, and if they go towards her, the other person sneaks up behind them and whops them?
Yeah. You could.
That's cool.
You could probably do that if you weren't playing with a 5-year-old.
Yeah.
And she insisted on being Claire, so.
Nice. So that means you're super dead with a crowbar.
Yeah. That means I've been killing a lot of zombies with a crowbar.
Yeah. While bullets fly aimlessly around you.
Yeah. Quit wasting ammo!
I posted a news story in the outline this week about that because your favorite game reviewer.
Oh, yeah. Patrick Klepek. I read that review.
So did I.
Yeah. He's an idiot. Like,
dude, he is so stuck on himself for being a game writer since he was like 14.
Yeah. I know. He mentions that in like every article.
He does. He always harkens back. Oh, I started IGN when I was 14 or whatever it was. It's like, dude, nobody gives a shit. You're a 30-year-old guy. Yeah. You've been writing longer than you've been like more than half your life.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you're good at it.
Yeah.
He didn't like it, though. Didn't like the Revelations 2.
He didn't like the story mode. He's super into the raid mode, which I haven't played yet, apparently. But it sounds like it's just like the raid mode in Revelations 1, which he supposedly played, but like doesn't remember. Like everybody in the comments was calling him out on that, too. Yeah. They're like, it's the same exact thing that was in number 1. Like,
I don't think I've ever played the raid mode. I just did the story mode and then finished it.
It's pretty fun. I don't know. Usually by the time I finish the game, like, I want to move on to another game.
Yeah, that's my problem. Like, I've never played any of the extra game modes on, like, any Resident Evil game. Like, you always have the survival mode where you're like, now you play as Hunk, and you can unlock Tofu. And I'm like, I'd never played any of those modes.
I think I think I probably will end up playing this one because, you know, you finish the episode in, like, you know, 4 hours.
Yeah.
And you're still hankering for some more Episodic Resident Evil. So
use raid mode to keep you satiated until the next episode comes out.
So
I really am having a hard time understanding the appeal of episodic content.
Yeah. I just kind of want the whole game at once.
Yeah.
Like the first one was cool that it was divided up into episodes and it had like that previously on Resident Evil,
but it all came out in like one clump. So.
Yeah.
Right.
That was part of the game's like curb appeal was that it was like split up like a TV show. This time they're actually just like piecemealing it. And it just doesn't have the effect.
I'm interested to see if they do that, like, previously on Resident Evil thing.
I'm sure they will to start out the next chapter. It'll say previously. Maybe even take into account some of the stuff you did that other people might. Or is it all linear? Are there any narrative choices that can be made?
Not that I've seen yet. I mean, Resident Evil games are usually pretty linear. Yeah. So
I just can't deal with it. I mean, like, I can't buy a game when only episode one is out. Because I've learned from practice, I'll play through episode one and never come back to the game.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to do that with this one because Cordelia is super into Resident Evil,
yeah.
And like we'll be looking forward to the next episode all month.
And your kid is so edgy when it comes to video games, and like I have Charlie at home who is pretty much just stuck on Costume Quest, Lego Marvel, and then we picked up Lego Batman tonight on our
Lego
date.
Lego Batman.
So. She's quite a different taste between the
you
kids.
You should try her on 5. It's not that scary for kids, I don't think. Yeah. It's so cartoony and like I don't know. I mean, she played that one
rocks.
Game. Yeah, she's punching a fucking rock. She played that one game. What was it, Wolf Among Us, where she ripped the dude's arm off?
Yeah.
So, I mean, like,
yeah,
that's pretty hardcore.
Well, I mean, that's why she wants to kill evil people. So
yeah.
She sees all villagers as evil.
That was before I was like, before that, I'd never played anything like gross with her at all. But after she started murdering villagers, I was like, why not lean into it?
It's funny, I always listen to like the episode the next day, and I do it usually on sync in the car. And so it'll be playing, and Charlie will be in the backseat sometimes, and she'll hear us talking and stuff. And she is dying to come onto the show. So you need to figure out something for her and Cordelia to talk about and put them on the show 1 week.
That'll just be an episode,
yeah,
Charlie
exactly.
And Cordelia talking about video games.
Just record them with them.
And we're just like asking probing questions, getting them to talk more because they've like shied up for some reason and won't say anything.
Well, I was talking to her in a car tonight because I was actually listening to the episode just so we didn't talk about stuff we talked about last week. I do that pretty often. And she's like, yeah, she's like, Daddy, I would go and listen to your radio show and talk, but I'm pretty sure I'd have stage fright. And I was like, well, there's not a stage. We just sit into like a little room that my friend has made into like a studio. She's like, well, studio fright's a thing too. So that's what she was giving me the line. She's like, but I'd go like, if you held my hand. So I just thought it was really cute.
I always wondered why like there's no like kid podcasts. Like
there's only one that I know of, and it's one of the Nerdist podcasts about the like the guy that owns the Meltdown Comics. His son does one.
Oh really? He's got like
a young kid
other,
does
like,
one.
12-year-olds on there or something.
Yeah, like his first episode was Pete Holmes. Like the little boy with Pete Holmes, like on.
Oh my
thing.
God, that kid's got to be like.
Yeah, and he's like 12 years old. If you're, I listened to a couple episodes. It's not very like, it's not my kind of episode, kind of show. But yeah, I just thought that'd be a neat little thing to have them talk about their favorite games.
Yeah, probably do pretty well.
They
know.
Would.
I don't know if kids listen to podcasts. Probably not.
Not this podcast.
No. Definitely not this podcast. Four old dudes.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, what'd you play, Ish?
Decent amount this week. I did episode 3 of Wolf Among Us, and it's definitely my favorite Telltale game to date. Like I'm getting pretty invested in the story, and if like certain people die, I'm gonna be pretty butthurt, tell you right now. Because games, movies, TVs alike, like they can upset me pretty quickly if they get pretty sappy and dramatic. So that's really good. I got 2 episodes left of that. I'll probably get into that some evening this week. And then I played some more Far Cry 4. Just mainly going around killing animals again. Did a couple outpost liberations, opening up the map on that because it's got that stupid radio tower system where you got to climb up high and unlock part of the map.
Did you read that article I posted about Castle Wolfenstein? Like the motivation?
Oh yeah, the player motivations.
He's kind of comparing it to Far Cry 4. And
yeah,
all.
I skimmed over that some.
What did you think about that? Do you think he was like way off base or?
I don't think not off base with Wolfenstein. Like I think Wolfenstein is. Like has a way better of capturing the characters themselves than Far Cry 4 does. There's a real disconnect in Far Cry 4. Like,
right.
I'll be honest with you. I couldn't tell you much of the story. I'm just running on it. Wolfenstein, however, just some of the cutscenes and the way like the dialogue in itself just keeps you a lot more vested.
Yeah. That's the, and like he talked about that scene in the concentration camp was fucking amazing. Like, yeah.
And I told you the scene in like the hospital was awesome. Like that just, it was just like never seen it before. It was really good. And like it really defined the characters that were in the room. Like even the family that got killed, you kind of like sided with them, even though because like they were just there helping people. They get gunned down in front of you.
It really made you want to kill Nazis.
Exactly. Like I could see that bringing someone out of like a fugue state and just like, bam, taking them out.
Yeah.
But and then I downloaded Games with Gold this month is Rayman Legends and iDarb on the Xbox One.
What's iDarb?
iDarb was like last month, though.
iDarb was last month, too. I downloaded it. I just played it this month. iDarb is like the little one-on-one frenetic like soccer handball game where you're jumping around the map, bouncing off walls. You have a stamina bar trying to score goals across the map and stuff. It's pretty fun. Not fun against the computer because they're horrible. But
it's one of those game jam games, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And It's pretty decent. Like, if you had friends over and you were playing, like, multiplayer, like, same couch co-op, it'd be really fun.
Oh, is that the game where you use, like, four characters? One is, like, a baseball bat. One is a ping pong paddle.
You can do that on one of the things. But, yeah, you can do that in one of the modes. But, like, the two-player mode is just, like, red guy, blue guy.
Oh, okay.
And you can bounce, and you can hit people that have the ball, and they drop the ball. You take it. Rayman Legends was installing when I left earlier, so I haven't played that. Xbox 360 games of the month are Tomb Raider and BioShock Infinite.
Nice.
So, two really good games this month, if you haven't played them.
I saw the Tomb Raider. I didn't see the BioShock
Infinite. It'll be out on the 16th.
Oh, okay.
Xbox 360 is still the 15-day partitions.
So, I actually bought the season pack for BioShock Infinite, because it was on sale for half price or something when I bought the game. And ended up playing through all of it, but no DLC had come out yet. But when I bought it, and I just sold the game, I've never come back to it. So I might actually play the DLC now.
Because I heard the two-part underwater Welcome Back to Rapture DLC is really good. So, I actually might, if they have the season pass on sale anytime soon, I might buy it to play with BioShock Infinite, because I didn't play any of the DLC. Those were two probably of my top, like, 5 or 10 games on Xbox 360 in its lifespan, were Tomb Raider and BioShock Infinite. So that's why I put those on that line, because it's really good games this month.
You never played Tomb Raider before?
No, I played Tomb Raider on the 360 and liked it so much that I bought it the day it came out on the Xbox One, played through it all again.
Yeah, I really like that game, yeah. too. But,
and I can't wait for the new one, The Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Yeah, well, I guess I have to wait for that one.
Yeah, have fun.
Fucking exclusives.
And what else did I play? One more chapter of Wolfenstein. I'm stuck at the very end of the prison section.
Okay.
And it just kind of pissed me off. I got caught twice, and I just haven't gone back.
One part we have to sneak around.
Yeah. So.
Did you kill the knife?
The what?
That horrible Nazi commandant who, like, tortures prisoners.
I don't think I've seen him yet.
Are you in the concentration camp, or are you in, like, the prison?
I'm in the prison. Oh, okay. Like, 5 chapters into the game prison.
Oh, okay, yeah.
6 chapters into the game. That's where I'm at, because I just snuck into the prison transport, and then you sneak in from the roof. So I haven't made it to that part yet.
So you haven't even gotten to the, like, underground hub?
No, and I have, like, 12 missions left in that game, because there's, like, 19. And that's about it on my end. Other than that, lots of Netflix, lots of Hulu.
So should we talk about Dead Snow?
Sure. You watched the first one. I haven't watched the first one.
Okay, so I watched the first one, and then I watched the summary of it, and they have, like, a sort of revisionist summary. Like, the first movie, all happens is it's very 1980s horror movie.
Right.
It's
right.
Like, oh, we're a bunch of, like, college kids. Let's just drive out to some remote location where if something bad happened to us, none of us would be able to do anything about it. And then just party our ass off, man. So they're like, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to drive up this mountain. We're going to park our cars at the bottom of it. And then some guy is going to have a snowmobile, and he's going to drive ahead to the cabin, and we just follow the snowmobile tracks. And then the guy with the snowmobile is going to be the only one that knows how to get back to our cars. And then we're just going to have fun. The movie starts out with they're all meeting at the cabin. Most of them come together. This one girl who's, like, a real, like, outdoorsy type's like, I'm going to walk across the mountains. I'll meet you guys there. So she gets there first. She gets killed by the zombies before anyone else gets there. And then they all get there, and they all slowly get killed by zombies.
Yeah. I don't remember one very much. That's where they find the gold, right?
Yeah.
That's the thing is, that's the revisionist sort of history I'm talking about, is by the time the gold is, like, underneath their cabin, apparently in Norway they have this thing where if you have a cabin out in the woods, you don't have a refrigerator. You just have, like, a hole in your cabin and just stick it in the snow that's underneath your cabin or something.
Yeah.
So that's where they find this box of gold. And so at the beginning of the second movie, they're like, we found a box of gold and awakened an ancient evil. And I'm like, no, the evil sort of woke up, and then you found the gold afterwards.
Right. It's the same kind of thing that was it? I think Evil Dead 2
does. Yeah. So I assume what made sense to me as a story is that while trekking across the Alps or whatever mountain range, Sarah finds the gold and brings it back to the cabin, and then they wake up and she leaves the gold in that secret place in the cabin or something.
Right.
But the way they talk about it in the first movie, it's like it's been there for 50 years or something.
Right. And the second one, the beginning, he's like, I told him not to fuck with that shrine.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, I don't remember a shrine.
I was like, what fucking shrine? Yeah. It was just a box and a hole. Yeah. So I like, but like the whole thing was in, not in English. It was all subtitled.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's part of the reason the second one's better too, is because it's all in English.
Yeah. Like, and then he like one of the, there's like this real movie expert like nicknamed like Ireland or something like that, and he, when he sees the zombies, he's like, don't let yourself get bit. And then the main Martin gets bit, and that he gets bitten on the arm, so he saws his arm off because yep. he remembers Ireland saying that. And then I was like, you know, no one, I mean, like, I'm as much as like a zombie purist as anybody, but so far you see all these zombies and they're all zombie Nazis. It's not like an army of like normal people with these zombie Nazis or whatever, unless they have spare uniforms for them to put on or something.
Right, right.
You're a zombie now. Hit the mess tent.
But they go into the backstory of the zombies. They were like a camp of Nazis that had control of this town, and they didn't get along with the town at all. They like treated them badly and stuff. And then when the regime started to fall apart, they just stole all the, they like broke into everyone's houses and stole all their gold and silver and stuff. And the villagers got so angry at them, they eventually just took them down with like axes and pitchforks and stuff, because it was like 300 soldiers against like 3,000 villagers or something. But they all fled into the mountains where everyone assumed they froze to death. But right. obviously they took the treasure with them, didn't freeze to death, and
turned into zombies,
zombie Nazis,
because Satan.
Because Satan, yeah. But
yeah, they're magical zombies, not like biological.
So they like but they all get killed off, and the guy like saws off his arm to not turn into a zombie, and he's like, oh, thank God. And then another zombie just jumps out of the snow and bites his dick. And then he's like, oh, damn it.
Yeah, and I forget, does he kill his girlfriend in that one?
Yeah, like so stupid. I'm like, I'm chopping zombies to bits, and you decide to walk up behind me and tap me on the shoulder without saying anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course I'm going to swing around and axe you in the neck.
Yeah.
And he feels all bad about it afterwards.
Yeah, I remember liking that. You don't ever see like a lot of friendly fire in those movies.
Yeah,
so.
But he's like,
you know what happens?
Like, I can't remember how he figures something happens so that he figures out that the zombies are after the gold. I can't remember. Like he watches a zombie do something, like pick up a coin and dust it off or something like that.
I thought he like stumbled onto a cave where they've been living and there was a bunch of gold in there or something.
That's like the. The guy with the snowmobile stumbled upon that cave, but then he gets killed like a second later before he could do anything. But he does mount an Uzi on his snowmobile. So he's like, and then they immediately abandon it. They use it to take out one wave of zombies, and then they're just talking with each other, and a zombie comes up and bites his neck off. And I'm like, oh, God, you guys never pay attention to anything.
Yeah.
But he finds out they want the gold, and so he gives it to them. And then, but someone, like his girlfriend, had like secretly snuck a coin into his pocket without telling him or something like that. So he gets back to the car and the coin falls out. And of course, these pirates, these zombies obey like Pirates of the Caribbean rules. Like, I need all the treasure. Like, they all come after this one fucking gold coin.
Right, right.
Yep. Pirates, zombies, leprechauns, they need every piece. And that's just fucked.
That's where the first one ends. Right?
Yeah. But I mean, there's like some noteworthy things in there. Like this one dude's like making Molotov cocktails once. And then he's like, throw it out the window. And he throws it and just hits the wall of the cabin and burns the whole cabin down. The guy's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And then there's a part where they get a bunch of tools out of a tool shed. And this one guy has like a whole bunch of things on his belt, like all these like different tools and weapons. And at one point he goes like, swing. And he takes out a hammer and a scythe and holds them together like the USSR symbol, which was kind of funny.
Yeah.
But overall, it was not a very memorable movie at all, the first one.
Yeah, the second one is way better. It takes itself less seriously.
Yeah.
It starts off basically where the first one left off.
He's speeding away in the car with what's his name? Herzog.
Herzog, yeah.
Herzog on the car. And
Herzog's like trying to like grab the steering wheel. I like the part where... like he turns on the car and this horrible dance music starts playing, and like
that's in the first movie though, right? Or no,
that's in the second.
That's in the second one. And he's like, reaching. Yeah.
He should be reaching for like the gear shift or whatever, but he said he reaches over to turn off the horrible
music, yeah,
because the zombies are trying to kill him.
Then he clips him on a truck, so Herzog's arm falls
off. Yeah, his arm falls off. And I, like, after, like, he wakes up in a hospital and they've sewed the zombie's arm on where he cut off his own arm. And I'm like, really? Are they, like, that bad of doctors? Or did he seriously happen to cut himself in the exact same place? I mean, he sawed his arm off with a chainsaw or something, and the zombie's arm was ripped off by a collision. So I'm like, are they, like, not making any kind of, like, you know, maybe this isn't his arm. I mean, this one had, like, some sort of weird Nazi jacket sleeve on it while he was wearing a cardigan when we brought him in.
The doctor even mentions, he's like, it was really cold, so we were able to save your arm. Like, because it was just a frozen zombie arm.
Yeah. Ugh.
And he cauterized the wound in the – he, like, takes some gasoline and, you know, like, oh, this is really weird. We're assuming his arm got ripped off in the car accident, but there wasn't any fire, so how did his arm get cauterized?
They weren't very smart. And
the dumbest doctors ever.
Or the best doctors ever to be able to repair that much damage and get that arm working.
I know. That's the other thing is, like, what? The arm just accepts him. There's no, like, rejection or, like, same blood type or the fact that it's just dead, decaying tissue.
Also, the police were kind of dumb. Because, like, even – there had to have been, like, hundreds of Nazi zombie corpses lying around the crime scene. And they could have gone back to get them all, but, like, there still would have been, like, some evidence. There's no way they could have cleaned
Herzog
up everything.
Herzog still would have been
the
there putting his hands on the heads going, hit, like, bringing them back with a little Jedi mind trick.
That's, in the second
stupid
movie.
Stupid zombie, like, generic Nazi scientist zombies, like, oh, sir, the bodies are warm. they're all decayed. We can't use them. I don't know about you guys, but I didn't get subtitles for that, so I'm just assuming that's what he was saying.
They didn't have subtitles.
It was
for
like
that stuff.
They were nice enough to give me the German subtitles.
Like, Gravatten, which I think means rotten in German.
Yeah,
so,
it was like,
that's the other thing. The second one, they bring in this whole mechanic where Herzog can raise the dead by just, like, touching them.
Yep.
So can the hero, Martin.
And he, like,
Hickyard.
Martin gets a zombie's arm, and then, like, the German scientist, we'll just give you Martin's arm. And so, like, this is dumb.
Yeah.
When he wakes up in that hospital and that little shit-eating kid comes in, he's like, you got chocolates? Like, he's like, yeah, untie me. When he threw the kid through that window, I spit shit all over my living room. Like, that was just,
He can't really control the arm at first, and like he ends up, like, massacring, like, tons of people.
I knew it was gonna happen. I mean, we already saw that he couldn't control the arm, and it was like this kid was even standing on the same side of his body as a zombie arm. I'm like, Martin, just, like, move him over. Maybe, like, give yourself a little room to react or something. But no, the arm took, like, throws him backwards, and he tries to give him, like, CPR, and so it's like, he, like, hits him on the chest, and he's like, but and just collapses his whole rib cage. He's like,
that cop looks out the window,
and he's like, this is what it looks like. I'm just stronger than I thought I was.
He freaking puts that hood ornament into the cop's forehead.
Mercedes story just started.
That's about how far I got. Is that he was in the car and he was gibbering that explanation to the zombie squad. And then it's like zoom out and zombie squad is like three dorks in North America.
Martin Starr.
Who's that? What's he from?
Freaks and Geeks, Adventureland. He's in that new one, Sam and Mira or something like that. The one about he's like a soldier in Afghanistan and he falls in love with a girl that's over there. Amir and Sam. It's supposed to be really good.
Okay.
Yeah. He's in a lot of funny shit. He's also in the Veronica Mars movie.
I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
But yeah, he was really good as, like, a nerdy zombie wannabe.
He hits that dude in the forehead, before we get there, like, he goes in the museum and meets that Glenn guy,
right?
And he's like, and finally he walks out, and, like, the little guy in the wheelchair, he brings him back, and he's, like, walking around like a little crippled guy, and right as he brings him back, he just hits him right in the face with an axe by Martin. He's like, I fucking got him. The whole movie, that guy dies repeatedly, and they just keep bringing him back.
Yeah, at one point they get stuck in the mud, so they jam him under the wheels.
Yeah,
and
they use him as, like, kitty litter traction. Like, and then he brings him back and puts him in the car.
So this is the end of the movie. He's just, like, completely wrecked. Like, he's walking on, like, stilts.
Oh man, it was so funny.
Yeah,
I like how the only like distinguishing feature between the Germans and the Russians were the big frilly coats. They always had those like those USSR like leather.
At one point they're like they need to defeat this army of Nazis that are on their way to destroy the town of Talvik, which is what Hitler's last orders to them before they.
Oh, is that why he was looking at the Talvik fish sign? Like, wow, 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 wow.
Right. Because they have to
fight. And he started hearing the Fuhrer voice in it.
Nazis, not a motto.
Yeah. So,
the main guy, Martin, rises the Red Army, like a battalion that had died in the area.
Right, right. It turned out the Nazis had killed, like, a bunch of communists. Yeah. Members of a communist army, and he finds them and, like, raises them up from the dead. And they come and, like, fight the zombies with them.
I loved it when the Glenn guy was like, "Oh yeah, I have someone back home. She is big boobs, very beautiful."
Yeah. The other tension is like, will he admit that he's gay?
Yeah,
like, right at the end before he's about to admit that, he's like, "I'm just gonna come out and say it."
Yeah,
Martin, whatever his name is,
Glenn.
And then like a zombie like kills him like right before
bayonet like right through the back of the throat.
Oh. Yeah, and you were saying that's the director, actually,
yeah, that's
right?
The guy that wrote and directed them both movies.
Yeah, that's, I don't know, he did a good job on the second one.
He looked familiar, like he'd been in something else. I couldn't find what else I knew. I thought I knew him from.
The fact that it switched to English just really freaked me out for like the first 5 minutes of the movie. Like, why?
Yeah.
It's so they could get a wide release, like, because they planned on bringing it stateside.
I think it was a good call on their part. Heard about this one a lot more than I heard about the first one.
This is one of my top movies we've done for the week.
Yeah.
It was a good one.
Yeah, it had like an 88% on Rotten Tomatoes, which was pretty good.
Nice.
Yeah, I highly recommend it. You should watch the rest of it when you get a chance.
Yeah, I probably will at some point.
Pretty decent.
Yeah, it's definitely a real like Evil Dead kind of vibe to it, or Army of Darkness kind of vibe. So, news. Not a whole lot, as usual. Yep,
still not much.
What are you talking about? There's so much news. So much news.
Marvel Puzzle Quest Season 11 ended.
Yeah.
That's like every month.
Yeah.
That was rough. That was a really rough season for me.
Me too. I hit $5,000 and I quit. Like, I just left it.
I didn't make it to $5,000. I missed a couple. But
you
I still
made it to $5,000, didn't you? I think you finished above me.
Okay.
I had 1,000 during one PvP. So I could get the Thoris cover.
Eat a dick.
I thought 5,000 was the 100 HP.
I think it is.
Yeah, it is.
I didn't get the 100 HP.
You didn't?
No.
Or no, 750 is like the...
Oh, 7,500.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I didn't make 7,500.
Yeah, 5,000 is like 2,000
ISO. Yeah, Tyson ISO or something like that.
Yeah.
I hit 5,000 and called it a night.
Yeah, but that last story mode plus the last... PVE, I don't know, wiped me out. I was up to like 3 last night.
I should have an Iron Fist cover waiting on me next time I load it up.
Yeah, I got Iron Fist.
I got one cover.
Yeah.
I just wanted him as a filler to use in the next PVE.
I can't be bothered to do too much PVE anymore. Yeah. Like, I just do enough that I get. I did try really hard when they had the hood cover rewards because, like, I need to get top 150 and get enough to like let me into a top 100 alliance so I get 2 blue covers and finally have 5 blue hood covers.
Were you successful?
Yep, I got 5 blue hood covers, finally maxed him. He's at 166. He's kicking ass, man. Taking names.
Mine's still not maxed. He's at like 153. Besides the
events,
the extra hit points, I don't really see a reason to.
I finally have some characters in the high 120s, 130s now.
Still working on my X-Force. He's at like 228 now, I think.
He goes up to 270?
Yeah.
I can't even imagine how much ISO that takes.
It's starting to cost like 4,000 a level.
So. Yeah, it's like, I think it's almost 400,000 ISO to fully level X-Force from 70 to 270.
Yeah. It's fucked up. Takes fucking forever.
I got freaking Loki, Doom, and Steve Rogers all up in the 130s now.
Nice.
Loki is definitely worth investing in, especially with that freaking green power. My God.
Yeah, I fucking hate Loki.
The Loki PvP, I was like, son of a bitch, this is so annoying to play against.
Like, that's the only time, like, because I know my Loki hit, I had a couple green covers, so I would skip match force.
I'd be like, oh, if I match 4, I have enough to do a surgical strike. But I don't want to give him 4 fucking countdown tiles to steal 8 AP from me.
I need more black covers for X-Force. That's what I'm weak in. I think I only have 1.
So, like, by the time X-Force got, like, altered or whatever, I'd like just out of random tokens or like randomly scoring like first or second place in a couple of
PvPs.
I actually had like a fairly well covered X-Force. Like I had him at 4-3-2.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a, I think I only shield like, so for like the longest time I've just been shielding for like 3 hours on each PvP, just spending 75 because then I would get like 100 for coming in like top 25 and like another 100 from Alliance and another 100 from like progression awards. And then I'd do PvPs and get like another 100 every PvP, especially with all those fucking ones that like they had rewards on every single node. You just had to get in like top 50 in the node.
Yeah. Right, right.
So I like just over like the last like 2 or 3 months, just been like saving up all of my HP and I just bought the last 3 covers I needed for him.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm still, I don't know. I'm still running on that HP they gave out for all of the nice. Alliances.
The Alliance reimbursements?
Yeah.
Yeah, my X-Force is at 5-5-2 now. So I got all the things I really need.
The yellows at 2?
Yeah, eventually yeah. I'll get the yellow at the 3, and then I could max him when I have enough ISO.
Yeah. Nice. They used to just give him away back when he sucked. So like I had like most of his covers.
Yeah, I like I played for a little bit when he sucked, and he was a pretty common like pull out of a tokens and stuff for me more than I would assume, especially nowadays. I feel like they must have altered it or something.
Yeah. Is your interest waning at all in the game?
Yeah, definitely. Like I definitely have to force myself to play like on some PvP events. I'm like,
yeah, sometimes I'm like,
you missed 2 or 3 this season, just flat out. Like
I just missed two.
Yeah. I missed one.
Yeah. One of them I legitimately missed. And then one
they took away the front page timers.
Yeah, I know. I noticed that.
Yeah, everyone's talking about that in the forum. They're like, we're fixing it in the next update. And they're like, well, when is the freaking next update?
Yeah. And I kind of wish they wouldn't. It seems like it's easier now at the end because you don't get hit like a million times.
You have to like go into event wards and then look at event rules, and that will tell you how much time has left.
Oh, really? I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
I just remember when it ends.
Yeah, I mean, I do that too. I don't understand. Like, I know I always remember which node, which sub node I joined or which time slot I joined. And then I always know when it ends because I'm always either in slice 1 or slice 5. So it's either 10 p.m. or 4 a.m.
I'm guessing a balance of power will start up after this nefarious foe shit.
Maybe. So we'll see.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't think there's going to be a huge break because it was a short month.
Yeah.
I think there'll probably be like 1 or maybe 2 events.
But there's some interesting news on the WoW front. I thought James would be here to talk about it a little bit more. But they're introducing some weird thing where you can now spend money to buy tokens that you can exchange for in-game currency. And you can also use in-game currency to pay for your monthly subscription fee.
Oh, cool. So it's kind of free to play now?
Kind of free to play. I assume it's like a god-awful, ridiculous amount of gold to qualify. Like more than you'd ever be able to grind in a month unless you were like already level 90 in like the top ranks and stuff.
Yeah, the
like
way
that.
It works is like the WoW tokens are implemented into the game. Like people can buy them and have them and sell them for gold. And the way it works is when you buy that WoW token, it becomes soulbound. And when you redeem it, it gives you 30 days of game time.
Oh, that's okay. Cool.
So as for like gold prices, they didn't mention any of that. But
and the other thing they just recently put in the game that some people love and some people absolutely hate is that you can take selfies of yourself. Your character can take selfies of themselves.
Oh, God.
So you get this screenshot of you like standing there, like making a face, and you'll have like the boss you just beat in the background or something.
That's pretty cool.
Some people think it's awesome. Some people are like, motherfucker, my like Instagram feed is now being bombarded with fucking assholes taking pictures of their orcs beating like so-and-so dragon.
I think that's awesome.
When Burning Crusade was out and I played that with a friend and made it all the way to 70, we did a couple raids and I got like a legendary orange bow that was like awesome. And so I took like a screen cap of me like holding the bow and everything. And like that was my computer background for way longer than it should have been. So
the selfie thing actually reminded me, I saw a little GIF or GIF, depending on what your pronunciation is there's some like Tekken or Ultra like Virtua Fighter or Dead or Alive, some sort of video game where there's like this little like schoolgirlish character, and she has this move where she like punches you and kind of like uppercuts you, and so you like slowly fall backwards. And what she does is after she uppercuts you, she like maneuvers next to you, like ting, and does like a selfie of like the two of you as you're falling back. She's just like leaning back to take a That's selfie awesome. With you. So I thought that was kind of cool. Just the way our modern culture is influencing media.
And vice versa.
Yeah.
Leonard Nimoy died. I'm sure everybody in this podcast, I'm listening to this, has heard about that. But
what? Yeah. When did this? It was like, I saw one post about it on Friday, and I'm like, God damn it, this is going to be my entire weekend now. And sure enough, like, just like rampant, every site I visited had an article about it. All of my friends were saying, like, rip Leonard Nimoy on Facebook.
That's super sad. I don't know. I mean, did you grow up with the Star Trek movies at all, or the show?
I had to, like, kind of go back and watch them.
My dad was a huge fan, so I watched all
of them. Yeah, my mom.
Star Trek 4 was like,
we went and saw every movie. It was bigger than Star Wars in my house. So
I mean, by the time I was like at an age where I was going to movies that weren't like Disney movies and stuff, it was like Nemesis was like the Star Wars movie that just came out.
Generations.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like they were past the Kirk movies. It was all Picard.
The last good one is like number 7, like First Contact, I think it was.
That's Picard.
Yeah, it's Picard.
Okay,
it's still a good movie though.
Yeah,
I saw First Contact in theaters. Maybe that was the first one I
James
saw.
James Cromwell and all them.
Or I might have watched it at home.
Yeah,
after I watched Nemesis.
Yeah, because I think it went Generations, then First Contact. Because Generations had Kirk and Picard, like. Little crossover.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. Like, Kirk is like trapped in like some time space or something. And Picard finds him there and he's just chopping wood.
Chopping wood.
On the old homestead.
First thing he does when he gets off the planet is has to have sex with a shape shifting alien.
Whatever.
Or try to anyway. Anyway, he's the last one left now. Fucked up. And I always thought he'd be like the first one to die.
You think Kirk would be the person?
Yeah.
Well, you know, you still have George Takei. He's around.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
Oh, my.
I know James Doohan's dead. Scotty's gone.
But, I mean, yeah, I meant like out of the four.
His
like,
bones gone?
Ones. Yeah, he died.
They're all gone.
I think he went before James Doohan.
There's a little meme online showing Captain Card sitting with all of them, and then another of him just sitting all by himself.
Yeah, I posted that today. Anyway.
I guess he won't
write. Not Picard, Kirk. Why did I say Picard?
Yeah, I knew what you meant.
Yeah,
so that's news.
Yeah,
what's your favorite Star Trek movie?
The Voyage Home,
right there, number four.
Number
that's
four.
Where it is.
Which one is that?
The whales.
Before they go back to the 1980s and do the. That was directed by Nimoy, actually.
Really? So, yeah. That's the favorite around our house because
Noah's Ark.
Everybody's movie. Always like Wrath of Khan, Wrath of Khan. I'm like, no, dude. Voyage Home.
It's my first exposure to real punk music. Is that scene within the bus where
on the bus.
Vulcan pinches.
So
the
at
punk.
The end of Wrath of Khan, they shoot Spock's body down onto the planet, right? Is that the correct sequence, or am I thinking of something else?
Yeah.
And then what is Voyage Home the movie where he comes back to life?
No, Search for Spock number 3 is when that happens.
Right.
Because he transfers his consciousness into bones, like when his body's killed. So when they bring the body back, he transfers back. And
I don't remember that.
I know it all. I've seen these movies.
I can imagine Bones was not very happy with that whatsoever. Because
they were always button heads.
Right.
Damn
Bones
it, Jim.
Starts acting real weird.
Yep, and they realize
doctor,
he's gone.
Not a Vulcan.
Yeah, and then they have this terraforming missile that they shoot at the planet that he got shot on when he died, and it brings him back to life.
Yeah,
for some, because
nanobots. Nanobots are the cure to everything.
Right. I don't know if they called it nanobots. I think it was before anybody thought of that. But yeah,
microbots. Not small enough to be nano.
Did you see Big Hero 6?
I love Big Hero 6. Yeah. That was so good.
Yeah, we bought that on the Sony store.
Yep, that's the Disney Movie Club offer of the month. So
seen it like four times now.
Yeah. Like, his brother just straight up dies. Like, it's like when Charlie at the movie theater was like just devastated.
Yeah. Or he was the same way. Yeah. He's like, he's coming back, right? Yeah. It's like, I don't think
then,
so.
Then, like, when the principal was a bad guy, Charlie's like, he was so nice in the beginning.
Yeah, we probably should have said spoilers a little earlier.
Yeah.
Before we
spoil everything. Get used to it. Nobody listens anyway.
His brother dies in like the first 15
that
minutes.
Movie came out back in November. Yeah. Everybody's seen it.
There's a 90-day half-life on this spoiler shit, people. Come on.
Anyway, sorry about spoiling Big Hero 6 for you.
Yeah.
Whatever. Moving on. Batman, Arkham Knight got an M rating.
So I'm really excited about this because in general, I feel like the movie game or the video game industry has really been dumbed down because, for good cause, obviously, but games are so expensive to make that you have to make them appeal to as many audience, freaking people as possible. So that's why the horror genre has almost been completely squelched out of existence, like, except for, like, what is that one called?
Resident Evil.
Yeah, Resident Evil.
Silent Hill.
It's not a... Resident Evil isn't even a horror genre anymore. It's a shooting genre.
Shooting genre, but...
Silent Hill comes out with a game every once in a while.
Outlast?
Yeah. That was a good one, yeah. But I mean, for, like...
That's more of like a PC console game. It's not really a AAA.
I was going to say, besides, like, independent developers do a lot of horror games, but it's like the franchise is really just seeing better days. And I always like, so I was really excited to see like a game that's like, fuck it. We know what our audience is. We're going to appeal to them. Anybody that wants to come along for the ride is happy to join.
I got the impression they were surprised by the rating that they got. Cause they got a T rating for, Arkham City.
Yeah. Oh, so you mean, okay. So they were shooting for a T rating and then got an M rating.
Everything I've read says they did the exact same thing that they did with City in this game. And they got a more hardcore rating.
I totally
think they'll go like Live Free or Die Hard style and mess with it till it gets a teen rating.
I misread that.
I don't know.
I misread that article. Then I thought they were like, we made an M
rating. The conscious
game.
Decision. Like, yeah. They're like, we're bringing it back to the.
Welcome to the party,
like,
kids.
Like, Batman kicks ass and breaks bones. Like, that's what's going
to
happen.
Like, welcome to the party, kids. M rated game. Enjoy.
I don't know. Maybe they did. They were aiming for M rating. I don't know. There's this quote here. It's unavoidable that some bad stuff is going to happen, but that doesn't mean we changed our approach.
There you go.
We're not including gratuitous blood or swearing. We want to deliver a true end with no compromises, and it takes us to some dark places.
I should probably
read that sounds these. Kind of deliberate. Yeah. Deliberate, yeah.
I should probably read these articles more. I just kind of read the title and like skim the couple of sentences.
I should take more time to read them than actually coming up with funny little things to call the hyperlink. That's what I spend all my time on. I think I come out with some good ones.
Yeah, I should read them. What would you call this one?
You posted this
one. Arkham Knight goes for a hard R. M.
Oh, yeah, I was going to mention, do you think, like, video games going for the broader audience, do you think they lose more, like, say, for instance, they're going with an M, do you think they're going to lose more people than, like, a movie that goes with an R?
I don't know. Can you buy M-rated video games digitally if you're a teenager and your
I'm
account?
Sure you can if, you're,
your account
if you're,
says
as long
you're,
as long as your not, account is set okay. to an adult.
Yeah, you have to have – the only reason it would stop you is if there was some sort of parental control installed on your – which by default there isn't
and
no parent is going to step up to that most of the time.
No, I mean, yeah, I wouldn't.
Cause like I'd say there's a larger barrier between someone going to see an R rated movie than there is for someone downloading an M rated video game.
Yeah. I mean, the same barrier exists for buying an M rated game in a store though. So,
yeah.
So I didn't know which audience, which medium lost more, an M rated game or an R rated movie.
That's the other thing I always hate. I hate how movies have to go for a PG-13 rating. I'd really like to see some good like M rated
movies. Yeah, back in the '80s when like they didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
Dude, our comedies, like
those are the best.
Yeah.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High, that movie would never get made now.
Porky's 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
Porky's 1 is awesome. 2 and 3, just for the tits and ass.
Say T and A, man.
Sorry, T and A. We're going for that T rating.
Yeah. Yeah.
God damn it.
Have we ever not had a parental advisory sticker on our podcast label on iTunes?
Only in the episodes that James isn't on.
When it's just me and you talking.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are like, okay, if you're like 12 years or under. But as soon as James comes on, that's when you get all riled up. I feel like I curse no matter what.
Yeah.
I started out not cursing at all, and you gentlemen have soiled me. So
I'm really bad at... about my cursing. I'll be in like a family restaurant and be like, I don't give a fuck. And then I feel really embarrassed afterwards. Like, ooh, I forgot what it was.
I just have the explicit tag checked on the default page.
There you go.
All of them are
better
explicit by default. Yeah. I want kids listening to this anyway. Yeah, so I'm not clear on whether it was intentional or not. It seems like it was kind of intentional.
I think like it's like, since they got it, they might as well roll with it. They don't want to admit they made a mistake or something.
Yeah. So, I don't know. That'll be cool. Makes me kind of look forward to it a little more, I guess.
There are rumors that the PSN Plus games for this month are going to be like big AAA titles.
Good.
Because they're keeping them secret until the 8th instead of the 1st.
I feel like they're going to give the good one to PS4, though.
Because
and then I'll get something.
It's about time. They've all been like indie games so far.
Or like Thief was like a AAA game, wasn't
it? Was on PS3. I'm talking about the PS4 ones.
Because March marks the 1 year mark since the big Anonymous hack from last year, so that's why people think it's going to be.
Does this drive any conclusions they want from any extraneous data whatsoever?
It hasn't been out long enough for like a good library of AAA games to build up. But I mean, Xbox One's been out just as long, and they have. Has any good AAA games come out for gold?
No.
It's been all like indie sort of games.
The best one for games with gold has probably been, I don't even know. I don't think there's been, Halo Spartan Assault is the most expensive game I can think of. That was like $30.
So like this game, like that D4 game or whatever.
Dream Drop.
Disappear Distance or whatever it is. I can't remember what it's called, but I know
that's Kingdom Hearts 3D. Dream Drop Distance. Yeah. I beat it.
Don't
Die After Dark or somewhere like that. Yeah.
I downloaded that because it has like that anime sort of style and it's like a murder investigation game where you're an investigator, has special powers. At some point I know I'm going to get around to that game. I played like half an hour of it. but I spent the entire time, like, you start out in your apartment and someone knocks on your door and you're supposed to answer the door, but you have all this shit in your apartment, like news articles and files and stuff. So I spent like half an hour just walking around this two-room apartment, just like touching all of the it's like, you know, it like goes in your scrapbook, like,
is
you
the have person a, still at your door?
Yeah, he's seriously, it was like really starting to aggravate me. He's just like bam 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 for half an hour while I'm walking around reading all this other stuff. But I felt like if I answered the door, it'd probably be like, you gotta come with me quick, and then I'd be out the door. I'm like, no, I got all these news articles to read.
Oh, since I've been playing, Wolf Among Us, I ordered the Fable, the whole like 6-7 book collection of the Fable
novels,
the novels or whatever they are,
graphic novels,
the graphic novels, a story that Fables is what it's called. I forget.
Right, not Fable.
It's
the
like
video
the compendium.
Okay.
Yeah,
not Fable the video game, the Fable the comic book series that Wolf Among Us is based on.
Yeah, it's a graphic novel series called Fables that the Wolf Among Us is based on.
Oh.
Okay. I ordered like, I forget what it's called when they put all the issues together in one. And so I ordered that off Amazon.
Cool.
Cuz a lot of the characters, I hope they're in there cuz they're really cool in the game.
Yeah, I've wanted to read that for a while now.
Mr. Toad is a fucker. So is Ichabod Crane. He's a gooch.
So apparently there is a 250,000 pound version of, that's pound as in the British currency.
Yeah, it's like about $386,000.
Of a Dying Light. And
this wasn't even on a news. Someone posted this, shared this on Facebook, and I saw it and I'm like, holy crap. We could seriously talk about this for like half an hour on the TV show. That's why I reposted it.
It's called My Apocalypse Edition. It comes with your face in the game, human sized zombie figure, which is to deter human raiders. Apparently you get zombie survival parkour lessons.
Yeah.
12
parkour,
lessons.
12 parkour. Lessons.
12 lessons.
Parkour, parkour.
Probably enough to learn how to run up a wall or something, I guess.
Four copies of the game.
And
copies of the game.
And limited edition metal tens.
Two of those Razer Tiamat headphones.
Yeah. For you and a friend.
Branded night vision goggles, which is probably the same goggles that came with that version of Call of Duty a year ago.
No, keep reading. It's branded night vision goggles and adult diapers. And adult
diapers. I missed that. For Dying Light's nighttime play. You get a trip to Techland, which I guess is the development studio.
Yep, Techland Gaming is who made it.
And they throw you a party, and then you get to like play this weird game with them called,
Well, you party with Steve, the zombie consultant, and dominate our devs in a rig or some sort of zombie match that you can brag about to your friends. But
it also,
they build you your very own zombie fallout shelter.
Yeah, it's a zombie fallout shelter. I don't know where they're going to build it. Do they just build it in your backyard?
I don't know.
I feel like that would plummet the property value of whatever you built it on. Because be like, you're showing your house, like, oh, this is really nice.
We have a
what
zombie
is that in the backyard, though? I'm like, oh, that's my doomsday
zombie-proof shelter.
My doomsday prepper shelter. That
I gotta say, that thing's not keeping anybody out. I'm looking at a picture right now. It looks pretty rickety.
Well, obviously, they would custom build it for you. However, you
I think
like
that's just
it.
The entrance. Oh, really? I think the rest of it would be underground.
Oh, yeah, it better be.
Yeah, there should be some subterranean aspect.
Well, for $386,000, I feel like most of the money is probably going towards this zombie-proof shelter.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I mean, what do we got? Four copies of the game, so like $240 there. Two like Tiamats, maybe like another $240 there. Night vision goggles, maybe like another $200 there.
And $5 for the adult diapers.
The statue, I could see that being like $500 to $1,000. So. What are we at so far? Like almost $2,000.
Yeah. It's a plane ticket.
Party. That's like at most like another $1,000 or $2,000.
Yeah.
So I mean, like everything else adds. I mean, the parkour lessons maybe like another couple thousand.
Yeah.
I mean, like everything else adds up to like $8,000 at like maybe $10,000 top. So
how much do you think Steve the zombie consultant's time is per hour? You know. Probably like $1,500 an hour.
I'd say at the least you're taking home a $340,000 fallout shelter.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally $1/3 of $1 million to build this shelter in your backyard.
It better be fucking incredible, is all I'm saying.
Impenetrable.
It better be like twice the size of this house.
Yeah.
Or like twice as useful.
You live in a $250,000 home, don't you, Matt?
Close. Not really.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's pretty crazy. I wonder if they're gonna sell any of those. They've got to sell at least one, right?
Yeah, they will. You
well,
got that
there
one
will be someone that has nothing else to do with their money.
$386,000. That's crazy.
Come on. There's a guy like, okay, I have a friend that plays Age of War, and he says he knows people that will like just spend thousands of dollars on the game.
Yeah, yeah. The whales.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand being a whale, but thousands of dollars on it?
That's thousands, though. This is $386,000.
Well, if you have thousands of dollars to spend on a game like that, I feel like you probably have $300,000 to build a zombie apocalypse shelter.
But where? You have to buy the land for it, too.
Well, you have, like, your or you parents' old money mansion. You can just build it in the backyard of that.
Do you guys believe the stat of only, like, 1% to 3% of people ever pay in free-to-play games?
Yeah, I believe it.
You believe it?
Yeah.
And they make that much money to that few amount of people?
Yeah, yeah. What was it, like, Shaq said he spends, like, $10,000 a day on games or something like that? Was that Shaq that said that?
Good Lord.
Yeah.
No, it's ridiculous. Like, I've spent maybe $20 on Marvel Puzzle Quest.
Me too.
Just because I wanted to get the roster slots quicker. Because you get covers faster than you get points to actually keep them.
I bought the $5 pack 4 or 5 times over the
whole I bought like a couple of things. I bought like a couple of $5 packs when they're on sale and stuff like that. Yeah. Just for the extra HP. I had like, I remember actually, I had spent $18 on the game. So I bought like 3 5 packs and then they were a half price. So I bought like a 250 pack or something. And then I'm like, I'm just going to buy $2 worth rounded out of $20. So I'm going to say I spent $20 on the game instead of tell people I spent $18.50.
Yeah, but roster slots were the only things I paid for.
Yeah.
I can't believe they made those free. It was the only thing people were buying.
Oh, you mean Alliance slots?
Alliance slots. Yeah. Sorry.
I'm up to like 44 roster slots now, so I have some.
Yeah, I get 46.
I have some
62.
Decent. Dude.
There's 42 3 and 4 star characters, and then I have 3 2 stars and 1 1 star just to play in the
Juggernaut.
Yeah, Juggernaut. Why would you have anyone else?
Yep.
I've got all of them.
Well, people have Modern Black Widow to pass out her blue. Blues, like,
yep. So there's 62 players in the game? 62
there's
60, characters?
60, 63 now, I think.
Yeah, 63 just came out. It's 42, 3, and 4 stars. 63 characters total.
Oh.
Ugh, fucking phone.
What episode was this?
62.
Nice.
Just and testing then, me, or did you know?
No, I forgot what I read on earlier.
Apparently,
I don't really pay attention. All I do is copy and paste and hit delete, and then add the next number, and I forgot what it was.
So what's going on with Xeno Chronicles? It's like not even good. Like the new 3DS is not even good enough to run it.
Apparently, it like labors to run it at full specs.
Yeah.
we'll have to wait for like the fifth generation.
I mean, wasn't the console developed just to play this freaking game?
I don't know about that, but you'd think that they would have made sure it
well,
ran
it's,
well.
It's definitely the first game that required the nubbin. New 3DS, right?
The nubbin.
Right.
I mean, it had to have been the only game they could have tested the new 3DS with, right?
I think it runs fine until you turn off the 3DS. 3D. I think it runs fine if you have the 3D turned off, is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant the other way around. I was like, no, I think I do.
So, because the guy who wrote that article was saying since he got the new 3DS, he's been playing everything with the 3D on. Because the 3D head tracking is that good. But he had to turn it off for this because it would just stutter to a disgusting mess.
And the last thing we have to talk about for the most part is, just for the hell of it, Dead or Alive community leaders have put a soft band on sexy costumes during tournaments because you don't want to be distracted. That's like a tactic, you know. You're like, I'll play Kasumi, make her fucking naked, and then my opponent can't stop looking at her boobs, and I win.
Yep.
Jiggly distraction two, level two.
And the reason they did it is because they're worried about the way the people outside the game community perceive the game.
Yeah.
So they want to cut down on the, on the sexy costume.
Every Dead or Alive game is literally just jiggly tits.
Like, yeah, they're like we want to make sure that people know that Dead or Alive is more than just jiggly tits. That's why we made Dead or Alive Volleyball.
Yeah. With even less clothes.
Well, this isn't the developers. This is a separate group of people that run the most popular Dead or Alive tournament.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that's different then. I thought you were saying like the developers of the game are like, listen, people, Dead or Alive is something you should be taking seriously.
Yeah. I know we made sexy nurse costumes and costumes of that just have
questionable nature.
Yeah.
Bathing suits, flowers, ladies.
Just a lay over this chick's tits. Yeah.
I think we need a new guy game or some BMX XXX again. You guys remember those when they came out? Original Xbox and PS2. It was like BMX XXX where naked chicks on BMX bikes are doing tricks on a half pipe.
Yeah, I think I remember
I remember that. I remember the guy game.
The guy game was the trivia game where girls would take off their clothes if you got the trivia questions right.
Yeah, I remember that.
There was like, what was that famous series of games? Like something Larry or
Leisure
something.
Leisure Suit Larry.
Yeah. I don't think they ever showed any like TNA in those games.
They didn't. Like, there's one where you, I forget, I think it might have been the
much
one
on the 12-year-old me's disappointment.
Exactly. There's one on like the original Xbox where you're hanging out with a girl that the only thing she'll do to fool around is let you fool around with her. And you don't want to, like, you want her to fool around with you. So, like, it's like the middle of the night, the lights are off, and she's like going like, oh yeah, oh yeah. And all of a sudden you hear crunch, and like all of a sudden like the lights come on, and Leisure Suit Larry just sitting there eating a bag of chips, and he had strapped a toy to a different like toy and was like doing that with her. Like, he was just in there eating Funyuns. I think it was like off brand Funyuns, but I remember seeing that, like, it was so funny.
Yeah. So there's all that drama.
Drama.
I don't know. I think that's a perfectly fine decision for people who are running a tournament to make.
Disgusting achievement hunter story of the week is Leisure Suit Larry box office smash, where you're running a film studio that's making pornos.
I had a feeling you might have played that game.
Yep. Horrible game that I enlisted my Charlena and her cousin, her uncle Clinton, one of my best friends. All three of us playing through it one night to get 1,000 points because it was super easy, but it was so glitchy and so like horrible to play. It was like little like kart racing games and find like all the pieces to the camera so the porno could shoot on time and all that stuff. Yeah.
I kind of delved into some of the awful video games just for the 1,000 points. Ugh. But there's like some like notoriously easy 1,000 point games that I wouldn't touch, like the Lost video game and Leisure Suit Larry. There's a couple other.
I did Leisure Suit Larry. I did it. Avatar.
I did Avatar because literally 5 minutes to get 1,000 achievement points.
It's like Hadouken 400 times. You're done.
Yeah.
Is the Lost video game like worth playing even for the story? Or
it's a pretty decent story. I watched the first couple seasons of the show, and that's what it bases in. And in reality, it could probably have worked because you play as a guy that's like not seen on the show, but a survivor nonetheless. Like that was on the island. And you find out why you aren't like in the show and stuff. It's pretty good.
So we need to pick a movie for next week. That's it for news, by the way.
Yeah. Anybody hear anything good lately? Like good to be bad?
A movie I've always wanted to see, but I've heard a lot about recently for some reason, is Cannibal Holocaust.
That's Trey Parker and Matt Stone one, right? No, that's Cannibal the Musical.
Yeah.
Cannibal Holocaust.
It's supposed to be like the first ever found footage movie. It's from like the 80s.
Let's do it.
It got like banned when it was created here. They thought it was a snuff film. And it kind of was, because the people in it are actually like in real danger
while being filmed.
Yeah, while they're being filmed. So I don't know.
Let's go with that one, as long as it's easy to find.
Yeah, I'm looking at it on YouTube right now.
Found footage film that predates the Blair Witch Project.
Dude, Blair Witch scared the living shit out of me when it first came out.
I've never seen it. What was that, like 94 that it came out?
Oh, yeah. It was like 94, 96, somewhere in there. And it's before like all the hokum came out about it being fake. It's like, because it was the first time they were able to pull it off as in, this might be real. And I'm young back then. I'm like 11 years old.
Man, I was like 6 or 7. My parents wouldn't let me see that.
Exactly. And like somehow we got a copy of it on VHS and we're watching it at home. And I shit you not, I was terrified.
I've always meant to go back and watch it. It's like on Netflix. And it's scroll past it and like, oh, maybe this.
The worst parts are when it's dark in the woods and you hear the noises in the woods. Because anytime I go camping, I swear to God, I'm going to hear noises like that. I haven't to this date, but like every time I hunker down at a tent, I'm like, I'm just waiting for the sticks to start breaking.
That's why I don't go camping.
Exactly. And then like the very end when they're in the basement of that old house where the guy apparently did all the bad stuff. So
wait, which movie are you talking about?
Blair Witch 1.
Oh, Blair Witch 1. Yeah. We screened that at the Esquire before like anybody had ever heard of it. And like I just seen this weird trailer that like claimed it was real.
Yeah.
And it was like the first found footage movie I'd ever seen.
Yep. Like, it was the first trailer. One ever. Like nobody, you couldn't debunk it because there was nothing to judge it.
And I'd seen some weird shit at the Esquire because I was a projectionist there, and like I'd built some like weird French movies, like one where this dude has sex with a 13-year-old girl, like, and the girl was 13. Like I don't know how like they got away with playing that.
Like Baghead, I don't know if you've ever seen that one.
So I was ready to believe anything, and I watched it alone with my friends in the theater smoking a blunt, and we were like,
dude,
we were like freaking out because we were convinced to like it was.
I think the only French movie I've ever had any desire to watch is that Leon movie or whatever. It's supposed to be
Leon the Professional. Yeah. Speaking of sleeping with 13-year-olds.
Jean Reno.
I mean, when you said sleeping with 13-year-old, I'm like, was it? I was like, is that what Leon is? Because. I know it's like isn't it like an assassin training, like a 13-year-old girl to be an assassin?
Yeah. And I think there is like a sex scene in the original version of that.
Damn, those Frenchies.
Not the stateside version, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. But no, it was a different movie. It was like,
was that Natalie
it was
Portman
like
or
Julie
Keira
of
Knightley?
The Blue or something was that name. What?
Natalie Blue is Portman the warmest color.
Keira Knightley was one, the girl in there.
Natalie Portman. Was
Natalie
the,
Portman.
Yeah.
Oh.
Did anybody watch that Blue is the Warmest Color movie or whatever? I see that on Netflix sometimes.
I watch Blue Ruin. At James' request.
I've not seen that yet.
It was good.
James is harp on me about that.
All right, I'm not finding Cannibal Holocaust on YouTube. It's all like, Cannibal click Holocaust. This link to enjoy this movie.
Yeah.
So,
Cannibal.
I don't know. Anybody got any other ideas that might be on here?
We could do Blair Witch Project. I still haven't
seen
it.
Is that on Netflix right now?
Oh, yeah. Number one and two, Book of Shadows.
Oh, Book of Shadows is terrible.
There's two scary parts in that movie that scared me when I was younger. The one where he's like on the little bridge that goes to his front door, and like the thing that gets me in horror movies, the shaky things, like the ghost, like you're looking in like a security camera and you see a ghost go, and like also it's closer. I will piss my pants 9 times out of 10. Can't do the shaky stuff.
Yeah.
I'd rather see somebody's arm get lopped off than just to see like a little ghost kid shaking and coming towards the camera.
What about Sleepaway Camp? You guys seen that?
I have seen all 4 Sleepaway Camps.
Oh, okay.
I can watch. I haven't seen it.
Dude, we got to do Sleepaway Camp 1.
Yeah.
If it's not on Netflix, I have the DVD set.
It's on YouTube.
YouTube? Sleepaway Camp.
Yeah.
We'll do it.
As long as we're talking about horror stuff, I had this thing that I used to use to freak out my friends a whole lot. Back in my third or fourth year of college, I found this website. It was this Korean guy that would draw comics, and every once in a while he did a really scary comic. I don't understand how he did this, but you'd just be reading it as like a comic strip. It was like one comic per page. So you had to keep scrolling down because just one. Yep. It was like a 1x10 strip or whatever, just really, really long all the way down. And so It's about like, it's like this guy and he sees this like rickety old woman like walking by, and she like, or no, it was a girl, and like she like asks if she can help him, her, and right after she asks the question, you scroll down a little bit more, and then I don't know how he did it, but the once you scroll past that point, the webpage auto scrolls like rapid fire down, and it makes this noise like it shows like the woman like turning her, like the next four or five scenes are just the woman going like and just turning around all the way around on her head, and it makes this really, it's like sound as it auto scrolls down. So it is like the freakiest thing ever, because you think you're just watching a comic and all of a sudden it's like doing, moving, it's on its own. And so,
oh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, I got like, I got people so bad with that.
My friend Brian, back in the day, when the things that came out, you know, the jump scares on computer screens.
Yeah.
He had one that was just called McDonald's. I don't know where he got it, but he had it on disc form and like a CD form, and all he would do is put it in somebody's computer. Like, we'd go to a party or hang out at the house, you put it in somebody's computer, all you do is drag it to the desktop, double click it, and then hit delete and put it in the recycle bin. After that, random intervals, it would jump up and do the thing until you emptied the recycle bin. I don't know where we got it from, but like, well, so many friends of ours, like, we had one friend go straight back in a rolly chair and just like to do a backflip because he was so scared. And I just remember like seeing that, like, we'd all be sitting like in the bed together just like, just waiting for the jump up, trying to get a look at what it actually was.
I had a, like, another thing I used to scare people with was like a video, one of those jump scare videos. You probably see, you might have seen it. It's like a car comes around a bend,
goes
behind a bush, and then like a zombie head pops out and scares you. But I was like, I used to get people so good with it, but I was like, so when this car comes around the bend, there's going to be a ghost car right next to it. but it's like kind of hard to see. So just like get real close to the screen. And then like, and I'm like, and, the director is like right next to the camera, and this is like an unedited clip, so you can actually hear the director go like, holy shit. And so you gotta like listen really carefully, and like you gotta turn it up a little bit because he's like, says under his breath, and so like the zombie head pops and goes like, bah! And like, they're like this far away from the screen, and they have like headphones on with like the music, and they're like seriously like flip backwards over chairs. My roommate just flipped backwards over his chairs. Hilarious.
Yeah.
Good times. But yeah, Blair Witch Project is good. Is that what we decided? What was it? No,
Sleepaway Camp.
Sleepaway Camp. Even better. Even better.
Yeah, Sleepaway Camp is great. Don't read anything about it beforehand. Don't listen to it. Don't tell anybody you're going to watch it. Just watch it. Because like,
did we do it on the show already? For some reason, I am thinking we talked about this with you guys.
I think we may have talked about it before. Maybe on an episode you listened to before Danny was here.
I don't remember hearing about it at all.
But like, don't listen. Just watch it. There's something that could be really spoiled in it.
Yeah. This is one of those movies my sister showed me when I was way too young to watch it. And it becomes like Sleepaway Camp 2, 3, and 4, all about the TNA again. Like, it's one of those teen movies. Yeah, there's like Sleepaway Camp, like horror movie stuff, but it's all boobs and like unshaven vaginas. So...
It's the 80s, man.
Dudes wearing too tight shorts.
Gotta love that muff stuff from back in the 80s.
But yeah, it's a great movie. I love it. I saw it for the first time just a couple of years ago in Nashville.
Really?
Yeah.
Charlena's dad had like bought her like the box set of it, all four of them. So one day, I just watched all of them in one day. And like, I had seen bits and pieces and heard about it. And then like, I watched it and I realized what movie it was. And I was like, that's a damn good movie. The first one is.
All right. Well, let's call this...
I got to go home and go to bed. I got to be up at 4 in the morning.
Yeah, get Ish out of here. As always, please email us at NintendoDreamcastPodcast@gmail.com. Yell at us for doing spoilers or, I don't know.
If somebody talk to us, we're lonely.
Yeah. Tweet us at NintendoDcast if you're one of those idiots that use Twitter. And
that's alienate our entire audience.
Yeah. Facebook.com/ Nintendo Dreamcast. Give us a like and...
Get a prize from Danny. Come on.
Get access to our show as soon as it comes up.
Yep.
All right. Well, thanks a lot.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye.